98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Well, what do you know? The Cardinals are not the only NFL team dealing with infidels and transplants and enemy fans taking over an entire football stadium. It happened to the Rams on Sunday in Los Angeles when SoFi Stadium was overrun with 49ers fans. So much so that Matthew Stafford said the offense had a hard time communicating. So much so that 49ers star Debo Samuel actually accused LA of piping in artificial crowd noise because there were so few Rams fans in attendance. Now the Rams are properly mortified, having believed that stuff only happened to the other NFL team in Los Angeles, and it relates to the upcoming playoffs in a couple of ways. Number one, it's a window of opportunity for Cardinal fans to do to others what has been done to them. And if the team hadn't lost four of its last five games, there might be a whole caravan heading west on Interstate 10. Either way, you might see some more red in the stands on Monday night. It also means the Cardinals do not have to worry about an extremely hostile environment. Now, maybe the Rams' current disgust could motivate their fans to show up and actually make some noise, but that's not the way Los Angelinos operate, at least not with their NFL team. So in the end, this is a great opportunity to inflict even more pain. After all, the Suns eliminated both LA franchises in last year's playoff run, and I distinctly remember telling you how stunned those two Clippers employees were that their team was actually eliminated by a franchise from Dusty Phoenix. Now the Cardinals can do it to the Rams in a year when LA is hosting the Super Bowl, proving yet again that in Phoenix, there is nothing quite like beating LA. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW Test Drive, the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Jeff Wilson Jr., Ayuk left. Now Wilson goes in motion. It's a pivot handoff to Debo. Looks to throw. He will throw wide open. Touchdown! San Francisco! They throw it. They don't throw it with Garoppolo. They throw it with Debo Samuel to Juwan Jennings on a 24-yard touchdown.
Wanted to play that just to get an idea of the crowd noise, the reaction of 49ers fans who did take over that that stadium at SoFi on Sunday to a degree that you don't see very often, even at SoFi during Chargers games. That was a big game, obviously, for San Francisco. It was a big game for the Rams, but, man, San Francisco's fans traveled. And we see them when they come to Arizona. San Francisco fans travel. But the thing that I can't get past, and you hit on a lot of this in the Blast Pick, is just the open honest nature of Rams personnel talking about how much that rattled them.
Yeah, right.
Going into the playoffs, it was strange. And if you look at Matthew Stafford's second half numbers, when things really got cranked up and the 49ers got back in that game, it was a different game altogether. And I think the crowd had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, and so I think that and it's funny because Chargers fans are getting a kick out of this. Well, I don't know if they're getting a kick out of it after watching their team flame out the way they did. But Rams fans like to make fun of Chargers fans because this always happens to them, right?
Yes.
And so whenever the Chargers play a game, like they play the Steelers or the Packers and the whole building's overrun, it's always the Rams fans who tweet at them, whose house is it? Whose house? And now for them to be dealing, especially with it being Northern California fans, 49er fans, that's purely under their skin. So it's an element to this game that I think is a benefit. And you know what? The Cardinals have had issues with this. The Rams have had issues with this. The Buccaneers, as you've pointed out, have had issues with this. Three of the
Cowboys haven't. I find it shocking to see how many visiting fans there are in AT&T Stadium.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And that might happen again this week because San Francisco's going there to take on the Cowboys in the playoffs.
Did you guys see the tweet from this huge Dallas Cowboys fan account on Twitter, Cowboys Nation? In all caps, 2 days ago, please do not sell playoff tickets to 49ers fans. And this entered the 49ers sector of Twitter, and the responses are just nuts. They are just going at each other.
See, it happens everywhere. You do wonder, though, like what this last loss and the way they finished the season will impact any Cardinals fans who thought about making this trip. Because of all the destinations, unless they were playing the Las Vegas Raiders, which is a different conference, the L.A. is the most convenient thing to go on a road trip to if you're a Cardinals fan, for your first playoff game in years.
Without a doubt. Yeah. So you might, there might be a nice snippet section of Cardinal fans. There were a lot of Cardinal fans the first time they played in L.A. I remember after the game was over, they were all kind of congregating together, and the Bird Gang travels really, really well. I wonder about this, too, because we had this conversation as it related to the Suns. I do believe there are more football fans in the Valley than there are basketball fans, but there's a much higher percentage of basketball fans in the Valley who would list the Suns as their number one team, as opposed to the football fans in the Valley who would list someone else as their number one team. I wonder if football teams instill more hometown loyalty than other sports do. So if you are a transplant living in Dallas or Phoenix or Los Angeles, I wonder if you cling to your football loyalties more so than any other sport because football means so much to people.
That's fair. I would lean towards yes being the answer to that question, at least for me. Because, you know, football's a different animal. It's once a week. It's tribal.
It's
communal.
It's a
day-long event.
Right.
You get together, you barbecue.
You wear a jersey.
Yeah. Nobody's really partying before a basketball game.
Right. You know? And if you're walking around the streets wearing a basketball uniform, people are like, dude, you all right?
What a dork.
Well, it depends. Do you have the shorts on, too?
That's it.
Well, are you wearing, like, arm sleeves?
That's it.
And tights?
That's the
right.
key.
That is the key.
Do you wear a T-shirt underneath, or you got the... the armpit showing there.
A loose white t-shirt.
I just clicked on a ticket site to see what's available,
mm-hmm.
and there's plenty of affordable.
Plenty of good seats.
A lot in the 500 level.
You fire up the Seat Geek app, Vinny.
Yeah. And,
how's your butt doing?
That one.
There's not.
That's the line, right?
It starts mid-50s to $60. I mean, there's a lot available. So
we've established there are not Rams fans. There might be St. Louis.
Mikal Bridges.
Just
Mikal Bridges.
Only him.
Right.
But the Suns play him Monday night, thank goodness, right?
Yeah, that's true. They do.
Did you see Mikal Bridges tweet during the game, by the way?
No. I missed it.
He tweeted something about, sorry, but I really, really strongly dislike San Fran.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I will say this about Mikal Bridges. I admire the fact that he's absolutely unapologetic in not only cheering for the Rams, but poking at the Cardinals.
Yeah, true.
Which he has done. I've seen him do it.
He tweeted something out like the Cardinals stink.
Yeah, he did. Right. It's like
Mikal's not backing down.
No. But that's part of why we love that dude. Love that guy. Mikal Bridges.
What is up?
Great jungle guy.
Villanova. Great Villanova Wildcat. Longest arms ever.
It's going to be interesting to see what the mix is, the blend is, because when you these quotes again, Sean McVay, quote, it did catch us off guard just because of the way that it's been this year. It's been great, great atmosphere, great environment. Yesterday was the same thing, but there was a lot of red there. That was definitely a surprise. Matthew Stafford, quote, it was a tough environment for us to communicate in really the whole second half.
And the tickets might be a hot ticket in L.A. right now, but it's not from hardcore fans. It's from people who are like, this is the thing to do, the place to be.
Yeah.
So it doesn't
it's not like Dodgers fans. Yeah, you're
doesn't
exactly
mean it's
right.
going to be loud
Which
and crazy there.
It brings
even
up another issue that, you know, that it is that way in the second largest city in America, that the NFL allowed there to be no local team there for as long as they did.
Well, and especially if you know something about L.A., and we're going to visit with Sam Farmer from the L.A. Times in just a bit here. If you know anything about L.A., they really reject the idea of taking somebody else's franchise. They think they're too good for leftovers.
Yeah, it's really hurt the Dodgers fan base.
Well, that's it. I think they've gotten over that. That's
7 years ago.
That was a long, 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 long time ago.
That is true. So we shall see. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, speaking of L.A. football, the debate rages on about the other team in L.A., The Brandon Staley timeout. Should he have called it? Should he not have called it? There's opinions all over the place. We'll get into that and more NFL hash marks next. Bickley and Marotta mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
This
will
be a
30-second
timeout.
What? Yeah,
I think the Raiders
were playing to get it down to either a field goal or just let the clock run out, and the Chargers took the timeout.
I'm trying to process this myself.
Wow.
I know.
That's the way it sounded on NBC on Sunday Night Football when Brandon Staley of the Chargers called the timeout with like 38 seconds left. We know what happened. The game is tied at that point. Overtime winding down. The situation was that if there was a tie, both the Las Vegas Raiders and Los Angeles Chargers would both make the playoffs.
Something people talked about all week leading up to the game.
Joked about it.
Yeah.
In a joking manner. And it was
people
happening.
People rooting for it.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Roethlisberger haters were certainly rooting for it because they didn't want to see him in the playoffs. After the timeout, and Brandon Staley said, hey, I wanted to get good run defense. There was 4 seconds left on the play clock, too. Wanted to get my best run defense out there. The Raiders run for a first down, and they end up kicking the field goal on the last play of the game by Daniel Carlson. They go to the playoffs, and the Chargers go home. Now, there's all kinds of debates, and the early criticism was all on Staley. What an idiot. How could you call that timeout? He cost his team a playoff spot. The Raiders were going to kneel on it. And then there's other people saying, well, they would have kicked the field goal anyway.
I don't know
about
that.
There was video, Bick, Austin Eckler of the Chargers, after the game had ended, talking to somebody he knew on the Raiders, the long snapper. And you can kind of read lips, and you could see Eckler say, were you going to kneel? And you can't see what the long snapper says in return, but the look that comes over Austin Eckler's face would indicate, yeah, they were going to play for the tie, and the Chargers would have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Derek Carr, the quarterback of the Raiders, said this.
We knew no matter what, we didn't want to tie. We wanted to win the football game. Obviously, if you tie, you're in, and all, I think all those things. But my mindset all day, I even was texting with Aaron Rodgers this morning. Yeah, my mindset was to make sure that we were the only team moving on after this.
See, I actually, if I was a Chargers fan, I'd have a bigger problem with Brandon Staley's constant thumbing of his nose and gut situations and just going analytically. And he went for third down. He went for it on his own 18-yard line on fourth down, got stuffed. It led to a field goal for the Raiders. 3-point difference. You lose the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, listen, I'm not a fan of that. I've never been a fan of going strictly by the analytics. I think Cliff Kingsbury goes down that path too often, and I think he's gotten away with it for the most part, and he's never really been bitten the way Brandon Staley was. But here's what I would say about this. If I were the owner of the Chargers, this is a fireable offense, in my opinion, because that is what they were doing on the Vegas side. I've read about this, and it wasn't necessarily that the Raiders were going to do the Chargers a solid. It was that Rich Bisaccia was thinking, okay, you know what? We're in if we tie, and if we've got to kick a field goal from where we're at, we're talking about a low trajectory field goal that might get blocked and get housed the other way. We don't need to risk that.
Yes.
So they had made that decision, and Brandon Staley calls timeout. Now, if I were Brandon Staley, if you were smart, you would get out ahead of it, and you would come to a press conference. You'd realize, first of all, how stupid you were to prevent that gift from being given to you, and I think you would get out in front of it by saying, hey, listen, this is football. I was not comfortable being gifted a playoff berth. I believe in competition. I believe in the spirit of competition. And I believe in letting those chips fall where they may. And if we are deserving to be in the playoffs, we will get there. Now, I wouldn't necessarily believe that. But for Brandon Staley... To even remotely try to defend what was happening is not reading the game. It's being lost in your analytics and not watching what is happening with your own eyes.
Well, the world's greatest football coach, who's not a football coach right now, he's on ESPN, Rex Ryan, he never did anything wrong as a coach.
Oh, no.
He absolutely destroyed Brandon Staley on ESPN.
We're being robbed
as NFL fans that we don't get to see Justin Herbert in the playoffs.
Who robbed us?
The guy with the you know who it was? The dude with the small hat. Little hat. Little hat right there that has no clue. We talked about, this is what he's done all year. Yeah, exactly. This guy coaches like he's a Division III coach that nobody cares about. All right? It's hard not to make the playoffs with a franchise quarterback. But congratulations, you did it. How he faces his football team after this one is incredible to me. Look, the Raiders were content. They were going to take the tie. Mm-hmm. They absolutely were going to take time. But homeboy sitting back, time out. What? What?
Homeboy.
What? He sitting back, time out. You're brilliant with those timeouts.
He wasn't the only former NFL employee to take shots at Staley. Michael Lombardi, a front office guy for a long time, on his GM Shuffle podcast with Adnan Virk, took some shots at Staley. Quote, his defense is a blanking disaster. He describes him as arrogant and said, there's no owner I've worked with in the National Football League that would have kept Staley after this season. He said about the decision to go for it on fourth down from his own 18-yard line, it's complete malpractice. In a close, basically playoff game, you go for it on your own 18-yard line. How do you defend that? You're basically saying, here's 3 points. Wow.
Yeah. I know. It's really, I could not believe that went down the way it did, because it really looked like, wow. In real time, you're watching it, you're going, this is really going to happen. The Raiders are going to let this they're going to let this clock expire. And subsequently, I read what Rich Bisaccia was talking about, and it made sense. Why risk a field goal like that if you do not have to?
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily this big philanthropic moment. It was logical. And for I've heard some of this stuff from Brandon Staley. Early on, people were identifying him as the next great young coach in football. But, yeah, I mean, they've had so many ragged performances, and the defense is a mess. And
yeah.
And I don't know, I don't know who said it, but you're right. I don't know how you get in front of your team after that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But again, I know this doesn't pop up very often, and the circumstance was kind of the perfect storm, perfect alignment of planets, whatever phrase you want to use on Sunday night, to put the tie into the possibility of all of it. But you know how you take care of this, Bick, if you're the NFL?
Mm.
Get rid of ties.
Yeah, I agree. They're
so ridiculous. For something
that happens
so infrequently, but when it does, it can wreak havoc. And I got tired of, in the last few weeks of the season, when you're looking at scenarios, this is how you clinch. A win by this team and a loss or a tie by that team. Just get rid of ties.
Mm-hmm.
Just, ugh, I hate them.
How though?
70 minutes of football and you don't determine a winner?
So how do you get rid of the ties, though? Dude,
play until somebody wins. It's not that difficult, Jarrett.
I love that one format where you can either choose to kick like a 45-yard, 50-yard field goal, or you can choose the other team to do it.
I don't know if it's
okay. Anything
initially
you're right,
come
that's
down
gimmicky.
To field goal kicking,
yeah.
Because that would smack of like a shootout in hockey.
I know, but it's better than a tie.
Anything's better than a tie, and I'm talking about football, hockey. Fashion ties should be banned in every single way.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like a true
neckwear is highly overrated.
Yes,
yes.
I've got a really good collection of them, though.
I do have sweatpants on right now. Just let
there
the record show.
Wow,
and
imagine that. And a tie.
Yeah,
uh-huh. No shirt.
Hey, working from home does have its perks. Barrett Jackson will be celebrating 50 years as the world's greatest car collector car auction as it returns to Westworld of Scottsdale. January 22nd through the 30th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for complete details and your chance to win tickets. Coming up next, we will get the L.A. perspective. Heading into the playoffs, Rams and Cardinals. We'll be joined by the great Sam Farmer next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Marotta talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
Yeah, it's Bickley and Marotta Mornings live from the Octane Community Studio. Still trying to wash the stink off the Cardinals' loss to the Seahawks on Sunday. But bigger fish to fry as the playoffs get underway for not only the Cardinals but the Rams on Monday. Here to give us the L.A. perspective, he covers the NFL for the L.A. Times. Sam Farmer joins us here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Sam, thanks for joining us. Thanks for making some time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Yeah, good to hear you guys.
Yeah, look, we got two teams going into this. The Rams have been playing really good football. They blow a 17-point lead and back into the division title because the Cardinals couldn't handle their business. But we've been having year-long discussions, Sam, about the Rams and the Matthew Stafford label that he can't win the big game. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is the Matthew Stafford panic at right now in L.A.?
Well, I don't know that there's a huge panic. It's more confusion, I would say, just because he's looked so good at times and been surgical with his accuracy. And then at other times he's been haphazard and sloppy. And, you know, clearly there are lots of issues. Every interception has its own story. And, you know, I think a lot of it is due to protection and protection breakdowns, which is kind of scary for him this week with J.J. Watt coming back. But I look at Matthew Stafford kind of like a golfer in the woods. When he gets in trouble, you know, he could punch out to the fairway and maybe throw the ball away, but you don't see that a lot with Matthew Stafford. You see him sort of look for to thread it through the trees.
Yeah.
And he's got that kind of trust in his arm. And if you think about where he was weaned and how he was weaned and you know, you think about not winning the big game, I don't really buy into that. I do buy into the fact that he was at Detroit for so long, but he, you know, he had Calvin Johnson there. So he had the luxury of throwing up the 50-50 ball and trusting his arm, yeah, and getting it downfield. And I think that sort of conditioned him. And you look at the Rams receivers are not big. You know, Cooper Kupp, OBJ, Van Jefferson, they're not big receivers. So I would attribute some of the interceptions to that. But then you have, you know, as I said, protection breakdowns. You have tip balls that were intercepted. But some of the mystifying ones are the down the middle of the field, not using the sidelines, using the boundary as a safeguard. And he had one of those against the 49ers. And it's just a little hard to – and you also wonder, you know, historically Matthew Stafford has been pretty dinged up at this point in the season. He's been hit pretty hard and he's, you know, could be – you know, potentially disguising an injury or sure, something. He's not going to sit there and talk about it. So I think a lot of factors have sort of conspired to make people kind of wonder when the other shoe's going to drop.
What kind of environment are the Cardinals going to be walking into? Because I know there is a lot of discussion about the Rams fans or lack thereof Sunday against the 49ers at SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people don't know that the 49ers are a hugely popular team, even in Southern California, just dating back to the 80s and the success they had in the 80s. they engendered a lot of fans down here, and so it didn't totally surprise me that a lot of them showed up. It is a different atmosphere. At SoFi, the Rams have actually gotten traction on building a fan base, a little like Arizona when they got the new stadium and you saw the sort of transition and, uh-huh, and people started getting into the team. We're seeing that now with the Rams. So I think it's generally been pretty loud and pretty NFL-like, if you will, which I don't think you necessarily saw much of that at the Coliseum. So with the success the Rams have had, and sort of probably the drop off of college football here in Southern California has benefited the Rams because people are getting into the NFL again, where for two decades, you know, people, the NFL was competing with the couch. I mean, people just watched at home that, yeah, fantasy football, they watched other teams on Red Zone, all those things that happened while football was out of L.A. So anyway, long answer to say that I think it'll be pretty loud.
Okay.
for L.A.
All right, we've had a couple of distinctly different games here between the Rams and the Cardinals. The one in Los Angeles, the Cardinals were very balanced and very physical. The game in Arizona, they tried to throw the ball on the secondary of the Rams, and they paid the price with just crazy amounts of pressures on Kyler Murray. How do you handicap this one? What kind of game do you think we're looking at Monday night in L.A.?
Well, you know, it's, at this point in the week, with this sort of capricious nature of COVID and everything, it's actually feels a little early to handicap a game, but I agree with you. I mean, those look like two completely different teams on both sides. The game in L.A., Kyler Murray was almost perfect. I mean, he played such a phenomenal game, and the Rams just couldn't contain him, especially when he got out to the edges, and they were able to run all over the Rams and sort of embarrass them. And then the game in Glendale, you know, the Rams found out 2 hours before the game they wouldn't have Jalen Ramsey. They found out they wouldn't have Tyler Higbee. They were already missing two starters for COVID, and yet they were kind of like a wounded animal, and they played pretty well. So I think the personnel is going to be different than either of the two games, at least from the Rams' perspective, because now you don't have DeAndre Hopkins on the field. And for the Rams, you have Tyler Higbee, who's a key component to that offense. And there's no Robert Woods, and OBJ is more sort of integrated into the Rams system. I think if you were to look at the concerns of the Rams, I would say protecting Stafford. And particularly because, you know, some of those picks, if he had a click more protection, he might not have been had a guy bearing down on him or make contact with him as he released the ball. And having J.J. Watt in there is a big factor. And then I look at the Rams secondary, which is just ravaged. You know, they got a guy in concussion protocol. They got a guy with a shoulder. They got a guy who's out for the rest of the season. And so they're going to have a reshuffle in the secondary. Now, can the Cardinals exploit that? I don't know. Also, the Rams had won 5 in a row before this Niners game. And obviously, we know the Niners beat them 6 times in a row and are definitely in their heads. And the Cardinals have lost 4 or 5. So, you know, what teams are we getting? And I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I think, you know, I think J.J. Watt is a big factor in this and what kind of player we're seeing there. And you know, on the Rams side, I would say Cam Akers, a running back who came back last week, tore Achilles right before training camp, was a great back as a rookie last year. And now, miraculously, he's back and was sort of a non-factor against the Niners, but, you know, could really help them as a change of pace back. He's kind of a Joe Mixon kind of back and should be really effective, both catching balls out of the backfield and running the ball.
Yeah. Sam, thanks so much for carving out some time for us and the insight. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. We'll see you Monday night.
You're the man, Sam.
Sam Farmer, LA Times. He joined us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Coming up next, we know number 99 in the blue and yellow is going to be on the field on Monday night. Will number 99 in red and white be on the field on Monday night? And if so, what kind of impact can J.J. Watt have for the Cardinals? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Sold on the home of Arizona Cardinals football.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Marotta talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
I have not. Yeah, I've never gone up against anybody that dominant. I mean, he is, and it's week in, week out. Whatever people try to do, blocking schemes, chipping with a tight end, keep backs in, I mean, he finds a way to affect the game.
Cliff Kingsbury with Wolf and Luke yesterday, kind of looking forward to next Monday night to the L.A. Rams, and you got to be absolutely cognizant of where number 99, Aaron Donald, is. An absolute wrecking ball of a defensive lineman.
I still think the most destructive defensive lineman I've seen, with all due respect to guys like Reggie White and J.J. Watt. But Aaron Donald this year, he's had two different games against the Cardinals. The game in L.A., Bick, the Cardinals did a really good job of neutralizing him. He had four assisted tackles. That was it.
Yeah.
The game in Glendale, Aaron Donald killed the Cardinals
with
three quarterback sacks and had his fingerprints all over that game. You wonder which – I mean, I have a feeling I know which Aaron Donald is going to show up. It's just a matter of how well can the Cardinals deal with him.
Was there? I remember some people were saying that some of the Cardinals were gloating about what they did to Aaron Donald the first time around. Do you remember any of that? Was there were there any loose comments made about how they handled Aaron Donald?
I don't recall any.
I don't either, but I remember that was part of the storyline, that Aaron Donald was motivated to an extreme level based on the fact that he had heard that the Cardinals had done a real good job at bottling him up, and thereby he unleashed the all of hell's fury on Kyler Murray. I mean, 15 individual quarterback pressures. I heard Wolf say this yesterday. He didn't even know that was humanly possible, and I agree with Wolf on that. 15 quarterback pressures from a single individual is almost not fair. That's how dominant that guy was. So clearly protecting Kyler Murray has got to be something the Cardinals do well. And I think more to the point, I think Kyler Murray has got to make the Rams pay. And this is one of the things that I'm most interested in terms of what the Cardinals offense looks like on Monday night. This is going to be Kyler Murray's very first NFL playoff game. We know Kyler Murray is the world leader in self-preservation. Very, very good at it. I wonder if there's a little bit of throwing caution to the wind Monday night. I wonder if there's going to be a 100-yard rushing game in his future.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Because this would be the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. We don't know what playoff Kyler looks like.
No, we don't.
It's all leading up to trying to get to that level.
Right.
And they're at that level now.
Yep. And now you're in games that are really these are the games in which you are judged by as a quarterback. And this is what, and Kyler Murray knows this. And you mentioned Kyler Murray's performance as quarterback of Oklahoma against Alabama, and you're absolutely right. It took him a while to settle into that game, but once he did, he was dominant. And so I wonder if the Rams pass rush can be not negated but burned by Kyler Murray breaking containment, and instead of taking the sack, getting out of harm's way and getting up the field.
Color me intrigued.
Yeah,
Bickley. I did not see you going there.
Well,
I'm glad you did, because now my mind is spinning a little bit.
But we know he's got the talent.
Yeah,
and we know that he's got the ability to gouge teams. We see it, Vinny, in these crazy. We've mentioned the four or five games when the Cardinals have tried to rally furiously and end up coming close and end up kicking onside kicks and try to decide when to kick the field goal and all that stuff. In those moments and in those games, it seems like every other play is a designed run, not necessarily designed, but Kyler Murray just takes the ball and takes off. And he gouges defenses when he does it. And so I wonder if we're going to see a lot more of that. I would not be surprised if Kyler Murray is the Cardinals' leading rusher on Monday night.
Especially if they're shorthanded at the running back spot. So there's the Aaron Donald front. And going back to your point about what he did against the Cardinals last time, 15 pressures by himself. I haven't seen an individual under that much pressure since the last time Freddie Mercury got together with David Bowie, babe.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All right. Now the other number 99.
Okay.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah, J.J. obviously commands a lot of respect. I mean, when he's around, guys perk up. His energy, his leadership is tremendous, and he's worked really hard to try and get back. Not sure if he'll be all the way or not back, but just the effort that he's put in, it's been tremendous to watch.
That remains a question. Now, Sam Farmer, in our previous discussion from the LA Times, he seems convinced that J.J. Watt is going to be out there and is going to have some sort of impact on this game. Cliff Kingsbury plays everything very close to the vest. We know that. We know that J.J. Watt has been designated for a return, has not been activated yet. And we talked about this last week when that news came down. J.J. Watt, the simple designation for return is a bit of an emotional boost. If he's able to suit up and do anything on the field, it's an emotional boost. There's nothing negative that comes from that. But where's your belief that he can actually impact the football game with what he does on Monday night?
A few weeks ago, I saw him, and a lot of people saw him, before a game beating up the stanchion on the goalpost. You remember that? When he was kind of really testing his upper body strength, yes. And he looked pretty violent to me. So is that, can he survive in NFL game? I'll say it, if anybody can, it's that guy. I believe the injury that he's dealing with, it's going to be really a pain threshold kind of deal. And I'm sure he'll do whatever he can to play. How much he impacts the game, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I really don't. I think his presence is going to have a trickle-down effect. There's no doubt about that. And I think you play him regardless and hope that he does make those big plays. I'd be surprised if he didn't make some kind of impact. I mean, he's J.J. Watt.
He is J.J. Watt. Now, he did this something similar in 2019 when he got hurt in Week 8. He missed the rest of the regular season, came back for the playoffs. The Texans beat the Bills in that first playoff game. And J.J. Watt played 61% of the snaps defensively. He had a sack and two tackles, two quarterbacks hits in that game. The next game was Houston at Kansas City, that strange game where the Texans jumped out to the big lead and then Kansas City came storming back. He played 54% of that snaps in that game. Didn't have any tackles, no sacks, but he did knock down a pass at the line of scrimmage. So. He had a greater impact in the win, but to put, you know, go back to your words, wouldn't shock you. I mean, J.J. Watt is not cut of the same cloth of other NFL players.
No.
And even if he's less than 100%, he strikes you as a guy that can conjure up something to make some sort of contribution to his team.
Yeah. Well, and I do believe that what he can help the Cardinals do is I think he can help try to make the Rams one-dimensional. I think when you look at the Cardinals, when they've been at their very best, I think it's when they stop the other team's run. It's part of that recipe that we often talk about. When the Cardinals are at their very best, what do? They jump out to a lead, and they effectively negate the other team's rushing attack, and they play from ahead and all that kind of stuff. I think that J.J. Watt, especially if Cam Akers comes back to play more snaps this week, if the Rams can roll out a couple of running backs at you, you're going to need to bottle that up, because the last thing you want to do is have to bring guys out of the secondary to stop the run. Then you're asking for bad news.
Yeah, that is true. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next... it's 9 o'clock. That means we got to get social.
Wow.
Social studies at Bickley_Murata with Sarah Cazell is next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.